Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds and your hearts in Christ Jesus. Lord, we know that we will never be able to fully grasp this peace that you give us, but we pray that we might be able to appreciate just a little bit more of it today. Please show us at this Christmas time the peace that Jesus brings, and we pray that it may help us to be peacemakers in our world. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, do you think that people want peace? On the one hand, you might think that the answer to that question is pretty obvious, right? Of course we want peace, right? Who doesn't want peace? You will never, ever get anyone making a public speech and saying, you know, what we really need here, what we really need in this situation is more conflict, right? Like, no one says that. No one posts that on their social media. And in fact, one of the great things about our society is that most of us are fairly peaceful people. We are not calling for certain people or certain nations to be killed. We would much rather have peace than war, even though war is sometimes justified. It is always regrettable. And we mourn whenever violence and bullying and hatred emerge in our society. Especially in light of recent events, it's pretty clear that in general, we want peace, don't we? Like, it's brought something good out in people. The condolences, the donations to families of victims, the support of people who've done the right thing, the prayers and expressions of help that have been offered. You might think it's an easy answer to say that people want peace. And I think we do, right? Like, we do absolutely want peace. But I think at the same time, the question could also be asked, how much do we actually want it? Because as much as we say we want peace in public, how does that match what we actually do in private? You know, we say we want peace, but we still get into fights with our family members. We'll be right on the cusp of saying something hurtful. We know we shouldn't say it. We know it'll make things worse. And we will go right ahead and say it anyway. We say we want peace, but we will still blame and gossip about people behind their backs, whether they be workmates or classmates or family. We say we want peace, but we're still quite happy to lay the blame of all the problems of the world at other people. It's his fault or her fault. It is their fault. It's the Muslims. It's the Christians. It's the left. It's the right. You see, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that many people who have done outrageous acts of kindness, right, very peace-loving things, have also done some fairly anti-peace things when it comes to people they don't like. This is one of the great truths of human nature, that each person is capable both of great good and great evil. The writer Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote, "The line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts." Right? This is what the Bible means when it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I think this is something that I've found to be absolutely true in my own heart, as well as what I see in the lives of others. And so sure, we all want peace, right? There is no questioning that, but I might question whether we want it enough. I am not sure that we want peace as much as we say we do. But what we're going to see from our passage today is that God wants peace. God wants it as much as he says he does. He says he wants peace, and he backs it up with action. He dreams bigger for peace than we ever have. And God achieves his dream for peace as well. This is what we celebrate at Christmas, that Jesus brings peace. He brings peace with God and peace with each other, not because we want it, but because God wants it. And so we're going to start by looking at God's dream of peace. Well, what does God mean when he uses the word peace in the Bible? When we think of the word peace, often we just think of an absence of war. You know, just leave me alone, right? That's basically peace for me. Or maybe we think of peace as an emotional thing, as a sense of calmness, tranquility. People talk about having inner peace, that kind of thing. And while it's good to want those things and to have those things, they are not good enough for God when he dreams of peace. When God speaks of peace, he means something much, much bigger than those. You might have heard of the Hebrew word shalom. It's a common Jewish greeting. It is also their word for peace. To God, the word shalom means more than just an absence of war. It means more than just emotional health. Shalom is an all-encompassing thing. It is a holistic thing. It has connotations of completeness, soundness, and welfare. When there is shalom, all debts are paid, all issues are resolved, all justice is done. God's people are healthy, safe, and prosperous. The basic idea is that everything is good, everything is in its proper place, everything good that we want to work for has been achieved. That is what God means when he talks about peace. And you can see this in passages like Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, which we often use for our benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You see, peace there is tied in with blessing. It's tied in with good gifts from God, with God's favor upon his people. Or also Psalm 37, verses 8 to 11, which goes, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. You see, the idea here is that peace is tied in with justice. It's tied in with joy. It's tied in with humility and love toward one another. You see, when it comes to God, peace is not just for me, it's for everyone. Peace is not just on the outside, it's also on the inside. And peace is not just people being nice to each other, it's people living in a good relationship with God. You see, God dreams big when it comes to peace. And I think by giving us these pictures of peace, God is encouraging us to dream big as well. Have you ever asked a kid the question, what do you want for Christmas? And they answer you, I don't know, or nothing. You know, there's something a little bit sad there, isn't there? You know, that someone just can't imagine anything in their life that would make them happier. Right? They can't picture a better life for themselves beyond what they currently have. Right? That's not what children are meant to do. That's meant to be middle-aged man kind of stuff, right? It's not meant to be kid stuff. But I think that is us when it comes to peace. We have such low expectations of peace because we don't really expect it or hope for it. We are jaded and cynical of promises, even God's promises of peace. We dream small and we don't even achieve that. But whenever God promises peace in the Bible, he dreams big. And he wants us to dream big too. He wants us to see this picture of peace that he promises us. And he wants us to know that what is impossible with man is possible with God. God dreams big when it comes to peace. And then that kind of leads into our passage for today. We're in the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. We read verses 8 to 21. We did the first half of this passage last week. Jesus has just been born. God's angel has just appeared to some shepherds in the field. He announces that Jesus is God's king who will bring joy for all the people. And after that first announcement of joy, there is this second pronouncement in verses 13 to 14 where the angels proclaim peace. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Notice three things from this passage. Notice firstly the power behind God's peace. God has made big announcements to his people in the past. He's done things like show visions to prophets. He has sent angels to give messages to people. But when it comes to God's message of Jesus, when it comes to God's Son coming into the world, God spares no expense. He wants us to know just how significant this is. And so he shines his glory around the shepherds. He lights up the middle of the night. And he doesn't just send one angel. He sends a whole army of them who are praising God together. Right? This is better than any drone show. This is better than Vivid. This is better than any announcement our worldly leaders could make when they talk about peace, so that they can tighten gun laws and hate speech laws. They can tighten immigration. But they can't announce any of that with angels. God can. God's peace comes with greater power, greater promise. We can trust God in a way that we can't trust people in this world. I also want you to notice this picture of peace, the picture of shalom that is promised by the angels. That first line, in the highest, right? That's about what's going on in the heavens, the place of spirits. And there, what you've got is you've got angels and people who are praising God. They're giving glory to God. They're recognizing that God works in everything, and they are giving him the credit that he deserves for who he is and what he has done. And then you've got that second line. That's about what's going on earth. You've got people pleasing God, living his way, walking in obedience to him. And you've got God giving his peace to them, those blessings that we talked about earlier. You see, this is the picture of peace that Jesus brings. Peace on earth and peace in heaven. Peace on our side as well as peace from God's side. And I think this is something that our world doesn't quite understand. You see, we try and get peace just by changing one thing at a time, right? One law, one group of people, one deal between nations, one apology or public statement. We do that and we think the job's done. But God shows us it's not that simple. Peace doesn't work like that. You only get peace when all the parts are working properly. We need peace with God before we have peace with other people. We need to experience God's peace ourselves before we can bring peace to others. And the significant thing about this proclamation of peace is that it all starts with Jesus. It's no exaggeration to say that without Jesus, there is no lasting peace. This is our invitation to the world at Christmas time, to know that Jesus has brought peace between us and God, and out of that flows God's picture of shalom in the earth and in the heavens. We want people to know that forgiveness and love that God showed to us, making peace with us by Jesus dying for us. And once we truly know that, we are able to be peacemakers. That's how you get to shalom. That's how you get to God's picture of peace. Third thing I want you to notice is how this proclamation of peace is passed on. Right? The angels proclaim to the shepherds. And then what happens? We'll have a look at verses 15 to 18. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. See, what the shepherds do is they proclaim to Mary and Joseph the news that they heard about Jesus. These shepherds have been called the first evangelists. These are the first people in the New Testament to hear the good news of Jesus and to pass it on. They didn't just hear the angel's message and think, "Oh, you know, that's nice," and then get on with their lives. They wanted to experience it for themselves and then proclaim it on to others. And this is the normal pattern of being a Christian, isn't it? To not be a dead end for the gospel, but to be another link in the chain, to pass on the good news of Jesus to the next generation, to obey Jesus' call to make disciples of all nations. To be like the shepherds who hear and then speak. There were quite a few of us at Carols at Asquith Oval last Sunday night. You know, it was a great night of fellowship and community, but it was also a tragic night as those events unfolded on Bondi Beach. I heard one person say that during the carols, against the darkness of the night, you could see the glow of everyone on their phones reading or watching about what happened. News travels quickly in our world. And sadly, bad news travels extra quickly. But Christians are in the business of making sure that the good news overpowers the bad news. Right? This is why we go to church. This is why we speak to people about Jesus. This is why we open our Bibles with each other. It's because we believe that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. It's because we believe that in this world we have trouble, but we can take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. It's because we believe that everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And we are part of that. As we pass on the good news of Jesus, God dreams of peace. Jesus brings peace. And we proclaim peace. But there's another reaction to God's proclamation of peace that is worth looking at, and it's Mary's response. Because while the shepherd's response is one of action, right? It's one of the body that they go, they speak. Mary's response is one of the mind. She ponders peace. And we see this in verse 19. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Mary has just heard from the shepherds their testimony about the glory of God that they have seen, about the angels, about the joy and peace that her son is going to bring to the world. And I think the idea here is that she doesn't fully understand it yet. But she knows it's important. She knows that there is something special about it. She treasures it. And she is going to work at understanding it further. And I think, again, this is all Christians, right? This is us as well. No one fully knows the ways of God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 says that the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 says, how unsearchable are God's judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. We heard from Philippians chapter 4 that the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Do not believe any Christian who acts or talks like they have got everything figured out. The only person who does is God. But what we can do is hear God's words to us, treasure them, recognize that there is something special about them, and want to know more about it as much as we can. You might be here and you might not be a Christian, or you might be here and you might have been a Christian for decades. But do you think that there is something special about Jesus and about the peace and the shalom that he brings? Do you want to know him better and live out that peace more and more? I think you do, because otherwise you probably wouldn't be here. And so can I encourage you to keep on doing what Mary did? Keep treasuring it. Keep pondering it. Keep coming to church, at least. And if you want to take it even further, open up the Bible and read it with someone else. God dreams of peace. Jesus brings peace. And we proclaim and ponder God's peace. At Christmas, we don't really celebrate our own desire for peace. We celebrate God's desire for peace. God has a dream of peace that is much bigger than ours. He dreams of shalom, of everything being in its proper place, everything in right relationship with God and each other. And God more than dreams it. He makes it a reality by sending his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins, to bring peace between us and God, and give us the power to make peace with others. Christians who know the peace that God gives proclaim it. to let the light of Jesus shine in the darkness. And they ponder it, they treasure it, and they grow in it. Thank God that he wants peace more than we do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world. Thank you for the peace that he brings. Thank you that by dying for our sins on the cross, that he brought us back to you, that he took the punishment we deserved, that he died in our place, and that he made us right with you. And Heavenly Father, we pray that as your people, we may be so shaped by the cross that we extend this same peace to others. Lord, we pray for your people, especially in these tragic times. We pray that against the tragedy of human sin, that the good news of Jesus will shine out. We pray that it may be seen in people's actions as they extend peace and love to others. We pray that it may also be seen at Christmas as the good news of Jesus is proclaimed. And we do pray for our world. We pray that they may want this bigger and greater picture of peace that you promise us. We pray that they may know that they can find it only in Jesus. And we pray that they may put their faith in Jesus and come to you and be your people and be part of your mission to bring peace to this earth. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.